Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready for the word tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to have fun tonight. I mean, this is going to be a message that I believe will light you up. Anybody love the word like I do? I tell you what, you want to get blessed? Take the time to read Psalm 119. Get quiet, get still, and read Psalm 119 and let it just minister on the inside of you. All about how your word was my strength and my delight, and your word, you know, saw me through the battle. Your word was everything to me. And I'm telling you what, I love the word of God. It's my anchor. In a world where there's nothing certain, where there's no one dependable, nothing dependable, put it that way, in a world where you don't know what government system's coming up or which one's coming down, we can always anchor ourselves to the word of God. It is an unfailing word. Do not let the enemy steal your hope for and desire for the word of God. Amen. Your dependency upon the word of God. People think you're crazy that you believe the word and you depend upon the word, but I'm telling you what, that word was around a long time before they were. Amen. And it's proven itself true and faithful for thousands of years, and it's going to see us through whatever challenges lie ahead. Amen. And challenges do lie ahead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, we've been through this verse at length of late. What it says here is, Father God sent Jesus to become our sin sacrifice. Amen. That we, having received that sacrifice, can become as righteous as God. Jesus at the cross became what he had never been, sin. So we, through the cross, could become what we could never be of our own. Amen? He brought to us a great exchange. He took our sin so we could receive of his righteousness. And you, having received Jesus Christ, have been made a born-again Christian. You're now a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you've been delivered from the sin nature. There will still be sin memory, sin residue, even some sin dependency within your soul and flesh that you will recognize are still there even if you've received Jesus Christ. But through time in the Word, through building up your faith by the Word, you can be set free from all the effects of sin in your life, I believe. Amen? At least the potential is there. Has anybody done it beside Jesus? Probably not, but the potential is there. There's power in the Word to set us free from all the influence of sin consciousness. And so what we're talking about here in this series we're on is about we being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What does that mean as far as what it delivers into our lives? A whole lot of people are claiming in these end times that they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and claiming it as an excuse to be able to sin freely. That's not what righteousness was given to us for. Amen? It was given to us to be elevated above sin living. Now listen, when you make a mistake, when you fall, when you trip, listen, righteousness is there, I believe, to lift you back up to the state of in right standing with God, walking without sin, but it was never meant to be an excuse for you to sin freely, willingly and repeatedly. Amen? And think that as long, you know, because you've said the poem, you've accepted Jesus Christ verbally, that everything's going to be okay. I don't believe God's going to be mocked in that fashion. Amen. And we've gone into Romans chapter 12 where it says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That if you want righteousness to work in your life, you must be going after the Spirit. Amen. Not just recognizing there's the possibility to go after God. Not just having a little bit of a church life or a word life, but actually going after God, changing you from glory to glory and trying to be delivered from the past. When you're going after God, you have a right to walk condemnation free. Amen. And because you've been made righteous, you have rights to the kingdom. We've been adopted into God's family, and because we're part of His family, we have a whole inheritance package given to us. Amen. Where God says, "I'll supply everything you need according to my riches and glory." Praise God. But what we found out is you have to understand your righteousness to get a hold of it. Amen. The majority of Christianity still more recognizes themselves as they identify themselves with sin more than they do with righteousness. They identify themselves more with a fallen man than they do with redeemed man. And we need to understand, if we're going to get a hold of what God gave to us by obtaining it through faith, you must be able to believe who you are in Christ. Because as long as you still identify with the fallen sin nature, as long as you still believe that you're a failure, your faith will not be able to grab a hold of God's blessing and bring it into your life. Condemnation will continue to separate you from God's provision for your needs. Did you follow me on that? And so it's important that we learn, as we've talked about over the past few weeks, to sow to ourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Amen. Sow righteousness, revelation, scriptures into your life, that as you get a hold of who you are in Christ Jesus, it lets you live above the natural realm. Amen. Scripture says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. In other words, through Christ, we've been elevated above the natural world realm. We've been given positioning in the spirit realm above the natural created world. Amen. Even above the demonic realm, the second heaven realm where He resides, that realm of the soul. We've been elevated above that spiritually. But if you don't know who you are, if you've not spent time speaking the Word of God into your life, that you're a saint, that you're in right standing with God in Christ through Christ Jesus, that you've been made righteous, then you'll never really be able to grab a hold of what God said is yours. Because you will still, in the back of your mind, feel unworthy. Feel that you don't have a right to claim what God has made freely available to us. Understand, the cross gave us all things freely. But to develop righteousness mentality requires work. See, so many people, when you start talking about working the Word in your life, sowing to yourself in righteousness, spending time in the Word, meditating and confessing Scripture, or you just into works. I just receive it freely. Listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing. You don't receive anything freely without hearing and hearing. Amen. So it's been provided freely, but you still have to position yourself through study of the Word to be able to freely receive it. Amen. You've got to be able to spend time developing yourself spiritually, really soulishly, becoming spiritually minded to be able to receive from what God has given to us. Amen. Because so many people try to operate in faith out of the natural mind. They try to operate in mental ascension. In other words, they just try to think holy enough, or they try to think deserving enough, when in fact your thinking capacities, without being having power infused upon it by the Word of God, does not have the ability to access spiritual blessing. Did you follow that? You have your own ability just to think nice thoughts, think happy thoughts, without having spent time in the Word to let the power in the Word engraft to your thinking, will never be able to attain to receiving by faith the things God's given to us. It takes time building faith by time in the Word. Not legalistically. You're not earning it. You follow me? Well, if I just read it, you know, 5 chapters a day for 5 months and I pray 12 hours a day, then I believe God will bless me. That no, you're still in legalism. You're in works. We don't do it out of legalism. We do it out of the opportunity to develop ourselves. We've used this example many times. We've all been given, you know, a physical body that we can either, you know, let waste away, or we can work it out. We can eat right. We can develop it. You know, same thing with your mind. You've been given a mind that you can either let kind of fizzle away watching soap operas, or you can get into puzzles and, you know, in mathematics problems or whatever, and exercise your mind, whatever, you know, will draw you deeper and make your mind develop. You can develop physically through lifting weights and eating right. You can develop mentally through challenging yourself mentally. And you can develop spiritually by spending time in the Word of God. Understand, the development in your spirit took place initially when you were born again, but now you get to grow up spiritually. Amen. And you choose how much you want to invest of your life into spiritual development. Spiritual development exercises. Not to earn it, but to position yourself to be able to freely receive it. Amen. And to the level we will find out who we are is how much we can step into being able to walk in the power of God, the anointing of God, the blessing of God, even the peace of God. Everything God's given to us in the kingdom comes through faith. Scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, "For without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." It didn't say you don't need faith to please God. It didn't say that everybody pleases God whether they diligently seek Him or not. It says you must diligently, in other words, with discipline, apply yourself to the things of the kingdom. Amen. And build your faith, because when you receive by faith, it pleases God. Faith itself doesn't please God. You follow me? Because you can use your faith for the wrong thing. Receiving God's blessing by faith pleases God. Amen. For one thing, you demonstrate the provision He's made for us through the Word of God. And so we've been called to grow up spiritually. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, understanding that in the day Jesus was preaching this, no one could be born again. But people were seeking after righteousness. But they were seeking after righteousness through fulfilling the law. If I can just obey the law, if I can do all the thou shalt nots, you know, if I can just apply myself to make sure I don't break any of the commandments, I can be righteous. But we found out through the rest of the New Testament that is impossible to do. No one has the ability to become righteous through following the law. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for it." Blessed are those, and what it really says is those that hunger and thirst to be in right standing with God. Amen. And we know that through the cross, through Jesus Christ, we've been given the ability to freely receive righteous impartation, righteousness impartation, that we are now made righteous with God. Amen. So God said, those of hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. Well, listen, it's one thing to receive Jesus Christ and be made righteous, but there's the second step we've been talking about, and that's finding out exactly what happened. And having spent enough time in the Word where it's embedded down in us, we know we're righteous. Not just saved, not just going to heaven, but recreated without a sin nature. Do you follow me? Recreated in right standing with God, and recreated in a system that God says, if you keep going after me, the blood will continue washing away your sin, and you can walk without condemnation. So blessed are those that hunger and thirst to live without condemnation. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for the blessing of God through righteousness. Blessed are those that just seek after the things of God and recognize righteousness is the key. Righteousness has always been understood as the key to receive from God. If I can just be good enough, then God would bless me. Amen? If I could just have an open veil, if I could just come before God freely, as His child, then God would bless me. Understand, Jesus made all those things available. But most Christians don't know it. It doesn't say, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for faith shall be filled. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for love shall be filled. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for church, you know, perfect church attendance shall be filled." It says, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst." Let me put it in these terms now. That hunger and thirst to find out their righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst to build their faith in their righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst to receive from God through the revelation of who they are in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand the blessings of God flow into your life in proportion to the level you know who you are in Christ Jesus. If you knew who you were fully, you would have a free flow of blessing into your life. And no devil in hell could stop them. Amen? You know, Linda gave the testimony a while ago being pinned to the bed, and she couldn't speak, she couldn't move, but she could think, "Help me, Jesus." I'm telling you what, if you know who you are, the devil tried to paralyze you, you'll laugh in his face. Amen. And he won't be able to hurt, a hair on your head. Amen. Beside the shadow of a dog never bit anybody, right? Amen. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. It goes on down. We'll go ahead and go to this verse, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen. If you start preaching that Jesus is the Savior around, you know, many people, you'll be persecuted. I mean, you go to Muslim countries, you're not going to be able to speak on the street corner about Jesus being the Savior. Somebody going to hurt you. You follow me? In most cases. You go around people in the United States in the right places, you just start talking about Jesus being Savior. They will persecute you. Amen. But if you step it up a notch and you start talking about Jesus being the healer, then even the Christians will persecute you. Amen. You start talking about God's right to access healing power through faith, then the majority of Christianity is going to come against you. And then you start talking about how God wants you prosperous. Oh my goodness, the devil is going to come off the steeples, jump through the stained glass. They're going to have a freak out party, I'm telling you, when you start talking about how God wants you to prosper. Amen. But we've yet to see the persecution that will come on the church when we start talking about how we're righteous, that we're as righteous as Jesus. When you start calling yourself a saint, when the revivalist church comes, you know, out of the closet themselves and starts talking about who they are in Christ Jesus, you're going to see devils absolutely go berserk. They will, I'm telling you, it will be on the mainstream media news. These flaky Christians or so-called Christians are declaring themselves as without sin. They're declaring themselves in right standing with God. They're going to have a meltdown. Because all that go after righteousness, it says, are going to be persecuted. But Jesus says, you'll be blessed in it. I believe the greatest persecution that is yet to come on the church is going to be through the preaching of righteousness. Through a people that are going to rise up and say, I am in right standing with God. Amen. They'll even have meltdowns when you start talking about how you're a name it, claim it, that you believe God blesses those of faith. But wait till we start calling ourselves saints in their sight. Amen. Have you found yourself still having to hold that revelation back because you know they're going to have a meltdown? You know, you're around the family members and they're having their, you know, their Christmas dinner and you know, they go to the denominational church or the, you know, Catholic, Episcopal, you know, traditional church like that, and you start calling yourself a saint, I tell you what, you're going to be excommunicated real quick. But God said you'll be blessed in it. Amen. The devil hates the preaching of righteousness. Why? Because everything flows into it. Everything flows through you understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 1. And watch things start coming together in your life as you start walking in this truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Now, here's Paul writing this. How many know Paul was persecuted? There was probably not an individual in the New Testament listed that was ever persecuted anything as close to Paul as Paul was. Amen? I mean, for some extended amount of time, they were trying to kill him. Amen. Because not only was he saying you could be saved through Jesus Christ, he was saying the Gentiles can be saved through Jesus Christ. Oh, major persecution situation there, right? He says, for I'm not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel that's received by faith, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says here that righteousness is revealed through the gospel, not one time when you're saved, but righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. Do you follow me? I mean, you got saved, they told you your sins were washed away. You're going, wow, that's great, amen. That was one level of faith in righteousness. But as you stay in the Word and you start seeking out God's Word on righteousness, as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, God's going to take you from faith level to faith level to faith level in who you are in Him. To the point you will carry the same anointings Jesus carried, if we can go into it that far. Amen. We can start doing the greater works because we're finding out we're made in His image. We have His very same nature. The very love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. And we have a right to live condemnation free. And Paul says it goes from faith to faith. It tells us in 2 Corinthians that we also go from glory to glory. I believe the glory is going to come through a people that find out they're righteous. Did you follow me on that? Anybody beside me believing for the glory? That's my number one focus, is the glory of God. So with that in mind, turn to Isaiah chapter 60. And let's go to our passage we're so familiar with there. Isaiah chapter 60. Are you there? Verse 1. It says, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon Jesus. No. The glory of the Lord is risen upon the church building. No. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, upon us. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. That's how we know it's not this is not the ever after. It's not even the millennial reign. Darkness is not going to cover the earth in the millennial reign of Christ. Amen. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Oh, hallelujah. I volunteer. See, I don't believe with the taste God's given us of the glory. The almost 2 weeks I was under it, with the gold dust that came in, with the power God has poured out upon us, where everybody in all night prayers pinned to the floor. I don't believe those are tastes of what we'll experience in a millennium. In other words, that's not why it's given to us. We'll have it in a millennium, but He's given us a taste of what we can go seeking for now. So He says His glory shall be seen upon us. And Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from far. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together. There's covenant flowing together. And thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. There's the harvest. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. There's the wealth. Forces, that word forces there is wealth. Money cometh to us through the glory. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries, that's dates of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. You can keep the incense, just bring me the gold. And they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Now, do we see this here? Now, go on down to verse number 21. All in the same flow, all the same context. Verse 21, thy people also shall all be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. God said the people are all going to be righteous. I'm telling you what, the glory is coming through a people to find out their righteousness. Look at chapter 61. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the passage we know Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And it goes on and on here. But here it calls us trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now, an interesting thing about trees is, trees are planted as a seed. Amen. They start as a sapling, and they grow up, and when they grow up, they bear fruit. Right. You, as a tree of righteousness, were birthed through incorruptible seed. That defined your spiritual DNA. You are a planting of the Lord, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But when you come up, when you're born again, you're just a sapling tree of righteousness. No real ability to bear any real fruit for God. Don't carry any major anointing. Amen? And we have to grow. How do we grow? Through continuing to sow to ourselves in righteousness. Continuing to build our faith in who we are. Amen. Continuing to stay in the Word to fuel ourselves. So we grow up in His image. Now, we understand that when you got saved through incorruptible seed, right? Incorruptible seed. And that in this, you were recreated in the image of God. And God is love. Right? 1 John 4:8, God is agape. And when you first get born again, God put in you through this seed the very nature of agape. Spiritually, you were made in the image of God. The problem is all that love, that image is on the inside of you, confined to your spirit man. But God wants us to grow up in Him. Renew our minds so we become spiritually minded. Work righteousness into our lives so we grow up as a tree of righteousness. And when a tree of righteousness grows up, it produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Love is our end fruit. But we don't bear forth the true fruit of the Spirit, the true anointing of love and anointings of love, joy, peace, patience. We do not produce this beyond our revelation of our righteousness. See, to me, I'm more concerned about producing the fruit of the Spirit than I'm getting the tangible blessings of God. I want to walk in love more than I want a new car or a new house. You follow me? I want to walk in love to manifest the very image of God and walk in the very peace of God more than I want, you know, bills paid. Amen. See, I believe those tangible blessings are just a side. How can I say, blessing God gives us on top of walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And we, as we spend time building our revelation, our faith in our and who God made us, we grow up as trees of righteousness and produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Do you see this? And what have we said before? That glory is love in such concentration it becomes tangible to the natural senses. It overflows out of the second heaven, from the third to the second into the first heaven realm. It becomes visible, tangible, amen, becomes Shekinah glory. So follow me how this all fits together. Incorruptible seed sown into us through Jesus, through the Word, right? We receive Jesus. We're made righteous. But then as we spend time meditating the Word, we grow up as a tree of righteousness. We produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And as we continue growing, because understand a tree, when it starts to produce fruit, it'll start to produce, in 3 to 5 years after you plant that tree usually. But it may only produce a dozen apples. Give that tree another 30 or 40 years, watch how many apples it produces. Do you follow me? Give that tree time to get those roots down deep and spread all over and absorb all the nutrients and moisture around. That thing will produce thousands of apples. So there's levels of fruit bearing. And I believe as we fully mature and we continue to fully spread forth our branches as trees of righteousness and we produce the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit, it will overflow as the love of God. Apples will be hitting the ground all over the place. Amen. And as I've shared before, when the fruit falls off the tree, amen, all the wildlife all around comes to eat of the fruit. Amen. They walk off not realizing they'd not just eaten the fruit, they'd eaten the seed. And more trees spring up later pre-fertilized. Amen. Well, as we give forth the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, we start to produce the glory of God. The Gentiles, the heathen, are going to come from all around after the fruit we're producing. But we're going to give them the seed. And they'll be born again and become fruit trees themselves. Are you following me? And God's harvest is brought in. So we see here all these components coming together. And I believe it hangs together. The seed of the Word. The image of righteousness. Righteous revelation developed. The love of God produced. The glory of God manifested. And the harvest coming in. All through hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So we need to understand this is not just another side issue. Another side subject we need to, be mindful of. It is really our key assignment. Is to find out who we are. Amen. And if we do that, everything else comes into manifestation through that revelation. When you find out who you are, healing will come automatically. When you find out who you are, prosperity will come into your life without effort. When you find out who you are, you watch the anointing develop where you can lay hands on people, see miracles take place like you never dreamed possible. Why? Because you know you're a son of God. You know you're made in the image of Christ Jesus. You know that you have a right to live condemnation free. Amen. So we see in these passages regarding glory, righteousness is discussed in them. Look at chapter 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Oh, praise God. Now you got my attention. There's a garment of salvation I can wear. In other words, once I've been born again, I shouldn't be walking around naked in my own strength anymore. There's a garment God wants me to put on. It says, he hath covered me. Oh, there's our covering. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Did you see what we just read? It says here that God's covering us with a robe of righteousness. And then he uses the analogy of a bridegroom and the bride. Now you really got my attention. Because I know Jesus Christ is coming back for a glorious bride. Not all beat down, wore out, ready to quit bride, but a glorious bride. All coming through, learning to wear the robe of righteousness. See, we've had this false mentality in the church for way too long with this ridiculous false humility. Christians walking around like this. How you doing? I'm better than I deserve, I guess. I hear that all the time. That's the new saying, better than I deserve. Do what? So the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection power that lifted us up from the grave did not make you deserving of the favor of God and the blessing of God? Amen. I understand you didn't earn it, but you deserve it because you've been made His child. I'm telling, when you really recognize what God did, when you recognize what He's made available to you, you're going to recognize God gave you a robe of righteousness. It just happens to be plaid in color. Now, if this was a real robe of righteousness, it would be orange. Actually, the scriptures say that white is the righteousness of the saints. Amen? And you'd say, bless God, God has given me a robe of authority, a robe of positioning, a robe of right standing with Him. When I wear this robe, I can come in freely before Him. How many want to learn to pray and go into God freely? All it requires is the right robe. If you put on the robe of condemnation, which is going to be blue, I feel blue. Well, you're not going to see God then. That's where I get it. It's logical. When you recognize God said you can come in before Him freely because you've been made righteous, you're going to recognize there's a robe given me, a robe of righteousness. I grab a hold of that thing with everything I got. I'm going to see God. I'm going to receive. You're going to put the thing on. You'd walk around, bless God. I'm not just hanging on. I got the robe. God's given it to me. He's given me all authority. He's given me all rights to the kingdom. And right now it feels pretty warm. You'll lay hold of that thing. Again, the verse that I've worked in my life for years. I'm talking about for, I guess, 17 years now. Is Job. Where he said, my righteousness I hold fast. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. When the devil brings condemnation, I said, no, I'm not letting go of my robe. When temptation comes to try to get you to compromise with sin, no, I'm not letting go of my robe. Do you follow me? I'm not letting anything in my life that's gonna stain my robe. Because if you open the right doors, which are really the wrong doors, you open the wrong doors, then you have to fight condemnation. I'm not going to let anything get close to my robe. Temptation, get behind me. I'm not compromising my integrity. I'm not compromising my holiness. I'm going to walk before God the best I can, avoiding sin. Amen. Because that robe determines your ability to go in and receive from God. He's given us the robes of righteousness. Amen? And He says God's going to cause righteousness to spring forth. I'm telling you what, He's raising up a generation in these end times that are getting a hold of who they are. He's causing the same to rise up. If you just say, God, I want to get a hold of this. God, I want to get a hold of this righteous revelation. And you'll just spend time with the Lord. He's going to cause it to erupt before you. You're going to get out your righteous confessions. He's going to cause them to rise up within you. And you're going to refuse to be drugged down. Well, that's just too much work. Well, then, you know, you're ripe pickings for the religious crowd anyway then. I mean, if getting the Word and working the Word into you is too much work, then you're ready for predestination and, you know, once saved, always saved and everything else. Patty and I have been watching a series on World War II. Patty and I and the girls, we made them watch it. And, well, the TV was on and that they were faced with it. And it shows all these horrible conditions these soldiers went through. It finished out last night. It was like a 10-hour series. Last night with all of them going home after the war ended. And the battles they fought mentally, trying to recover from the war. Some of them never recovered mentally. Patty's over crying. I mean, crying because we just watched 9 hours of them going through hell. I mean, you run through a field and all of a sudden your buddy just blown to pieces where a shell hits him, you know. Your best friend's got, you know, bullets ripping them apart. And you finish, you know, some of the battles they talked about. In Iwo Jima, one group went in with 235 men, came out with 37. And that's not a very good, you know, success rate. And so, those are somewhat the numbers. And you're one of them survived. You're saying, why me? Why did I make it? Why did I survive without a scratch? And the conditions they lived in, the conditions were absolutely unlivable. These tropical islands that it rained all the time and nothing around them but dead bodies. One situation, a guy's trying to climb a thing, climb a bank, and he slips and he slides down this bank and he slides right into a rotten, I'm talking about a decayed body covered in maggots. He's got maggots all over him. And these were their living conditions. There was no place to go to escape them. They're digging their foxholes to dig in, and they're digging. It turns out there's graves all over the island. There's digging at dead men's bones and carcasses, trying to dig a foxhole to lay in. No place to go to get dry. And I'm telling you, I get moved by things like this, knowing what men went through to buy our liberty. And then the church today says, well, I just can't do that. That's too much work. I'm telling you what, I will take working the word over digging a foxhole and dead bodies anytime. We have a right to live in God's best. And it was freely given to us, but it's not obtained without effort. And I believe, like those men, you know, if you'd interview these soldiers, they say, I was just doing my duty. Our nation was attacked. Most of them enlisted. I was just doing what was necessary. And I believe that needs to be our attitude. I'm going after the glory because I'm just doing what's necessary. I've been bought with a price. I have a responsibility to bring in a harvest. I don't want people going to hell, so I'm going after God. If for no other reason than to rescue as many people as I can from the pits of hell itself, amen, from the clutches of the devil, it's our responsibility. Well, that's just too much work. I'm up to here with people concerned reading the word as work. It's not work, it's an honor. God gave us, I don't know how I got on this vein, but praise God, He gave us the living, breathing, eternal, all-powerful Word, and we look at it as like it's schoolwork, like a job. God, so you get into this book and you will be conformed to the image this book creates. Amen. You'll walk in the image of Jesus Christ Himself. I don't look at this, well, I got to read the Word. I look at it like, I get to be conformed to its image. I get to put on the robe of righteousness and walk in the fullness of the power of God. What an awesome God to give us this word. And then we thumb our nose at it. Well, it's just not convenient. It's not exciting to me. I just don't get anything out of it. Don't even say that. You should be declaring this is the most exciting book you've ever put your hand to. And if you don't understand a word of it, read it again. You'll get more the second time. There's an eternal book and there's all other books. This is the only one that's eternal. Get off my soapbox, but I'm kind of enjoying it up here. Romans chapter 5. I'll see if I can get through this passage in the time we have left. Now, Romans chapter 5 is, to me, one of the greatest chapters in all of Scripture. The second half of the chapter is contrasting Adam and Jesus. And, in fact, let's pick it up. Let's go to verse number 17, just for the sake of time. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, who was the one man that sinned? Adam. Through Adam's transgression, sin entered the world. Amen? And it reigned. It had authority. It ruled. Through one man's disobedience, I'm sorry. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace. God says, I'm giving you a grace package and it's abundant. They which receive the abundant grace package of all the blessing and power of God, He's made available through Jesus Christ. They that receive it and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. They which receive God's free blessing package and receive the gift of righteousness shall reign. However, you must get the revelation by going from faith to faith in righteousness of the package that was given to you. It's not that you just get saved and you're made righteous and everything falls into your lap. How many have had that happen? Did you know this is not the first generation to be born again? This is really, the past 100 years is the first generation really to get a hold of any high level of divine healing. So for the past 1900 years, people weren't being healed supernaturally very often. For 1200 years of dark ages, they weren't being healed at all. Hardly at all. Yet many were born again. Many were saved. What happened? They had the gift of righteousness imparted, but they'd never been taught, they'd never received the revelation of developing their faith in that righteousness, of knowing really what happened when they were made righteous. In fact, I will assure you the majority of Christians, born again Christians, that have died up to now on this planet never knew they were righteous. They knew their sins had been forgiven. You follow me? They knew their ticket had been stamped to go to heaven, that they'd been saved, but they never knew they were made righteous. And so what happened? For the most part, the past 1900 years, really the past 2000, the church has lived in defeat. But it says they that access the grace package and get a hold of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Rule, reign, be above, be the head only and not the tail. Do you see this? God wants us to reign. How do we reign? Getting a hold of the revelation who we are. Do you see that? Sin entered through Adam, but righteousness came freely through Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Adam allowed condemnation to enter the world. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. Justification is a word that means made righteous. Amen. We've always interpreted it, religiously, just as if I never sinned. That's not what it means. It means made without sin. The word, how many have heard just as if I never sinned before for justification? That says you're still a sinner, but it's like you never sinned. That's not what happened. Justification is being made just. Justification means just before God. So justification is your rebirthing to make you righteousness before God. Do you see that? For as by one man's disobedience, and it says justification of life, Zoe life, that's all the blessing of God manifested in your life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It didn't say forgiven. It didn't say just as if you never sinned. It says you will be made righteous. Jesus wasn't just accounted as a sinner on the cross. He was made a sinner. He was nailed to the tree, came under the influence of the curse, and was made sin. You, through believing in Jesus Christ, are not just forgiven. You're not just having your sins washed away. You are made sin-free spiritually. You're made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Moreover, verse 20, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I tell you, God's got an abounding package for us through grace, amen, through a revelation of righteousness. That is, sin hath reigned unto death. How many know sin ruled unto death? It's brought every man unto death. As sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace reigns. God's grace package is allowed to be opened up before us. His power and authority allowed to be activated in our life through righteousness revelation. Again, this is not just some little nice message you hear one time and think, well, I'll put that in my library. This is one you ought to be seeking for the rest of your life. Do you follow me? Now, again, in closing here, preparing to close. Righteousness, that you've been made righteous, is not going to work without going after God. It's not going to work without spending time in the Scriptures. You're not going to be able to walk around and say, well, I'm righteous, I'm a saint, without having spent time in the Word that declares you righteous and discusses what you have. Are you following me? It's got to be from an impartation of having spent time in God's Word that transfers to us the power to activate faith in our life in our righteousness. There, again, is a move right now regarding the teaching of righteousness to make everybody believe that they receive Jesus Christ no matter what they do, everything is okay. They can freely receive from God because, you know, they've been made righteous. You don't have to have time in the Word. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to pray. Whatever, you've been made righteous already. We're all one happy family. We're all going to heaven. And the truth is, that's not what the Word declares. Do you follow me? You must work the Word to build your faith to move into what God had. God does not anoint lazy Christianity. Amen. It was never meant to come through one moment of revelation and, you know, we walk in that empowerment from then on. Jesus said, pray for your daily bread. Study out what He taught. Study what Paul talks about. We're required to maintain a relationship, to dwell in Jesus, to abide in Him, which means as well to abide in His Word. To renew our minds, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? You got to put on that new man. Build your faith in it. If we do that, we will go into the glory of God. Those that resist the spiritual development aspects of going into righteousness will move into flakiness. And even now they're falling in that direction. We're called to higher things. Amen. Praise God.